Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another edition of Black College 9's HBCU Baseball Podcast Series. Our podcast series covers the head baseball coaches and the many things they do for their programs and how they set their programs up and how they maintain them and how they try to take their programs to the next level, the recruiting that's involved, and the scheduling. Today we are going to talk to Albany State head baseball coach Scott Hemmings. Scott Hemmings, this is his third season at the helm of Rams baseball. I'm sorry, I should say Golden Rams. Last season he guided them to their first conference title since 2015, and he was also named Black College Baseball's HBCU Baseball National Champion. Before Scott became the head coach, he was the head coach at Dalton State College, where he won 212 games over a five-year span. The one thing I like about Coach Hemmings is the fact that a lot of his players at the JUCO level were got drafted by Major League Baseball. Scott Hemmings is a baseball guy. He knows the game well, coaches the game well. He brings out the best of his players, but he believes in getting those players to work hard. That's the one thing I like about him. And not only that, he's also a winner. He's also a disciplinarian, and he's also an academicianarian. His kids buy into what he does, how he does it, and the fact that he's got minor league baseball experience, and he's helping kids out in that area. Coach Scott Hemmings, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? I appreciate you having me on today, as I'm honored to be here.
Well, you earned it, and this is something I've been wanting to do with you for a while now. There are times when I had the opportunity, and then things came up, and by the time I got back to you, things I was taken in another direction. But I want to discuss you. I want to discuss your involvement with Albany State. When you left Dalton College, you left a good program. You're in a good situation, but you're in a better one now because you're at the NCAA Division II level. What brought you to Albany State?
Well, the Board of Regents, our governing body of the Georgia colleges, actually merged Darton State College and Albany State together to become one university. And so I was the head baseball coach at Darton for 5 years. And the Board of Regents in the fall of 2015 had made a decision, and they've done six or seven other mergers, but they merged the two-year school with the four-year school across town to become one four-year university. My family's here. I like Albany, and made a home here. We have a great church and great friends, and the community is very supportive of our program. And so my wife and I made a decision to stay here in Albany and remain as the head coach of the new Albany State University. So for the viewers or the listeners out there, it was a very unique situation, but it's been a huge blessing to our program and to our family to remain in Albany, that's for sure.
Well, what was the difference, considering my understanding, there was Dalton had a better field to play on than what Albany had. Is there some sort of truth to that rumor, or shed some if you could?
I wouldn't necessarily say it was a better field, because we have the difference was that at the Dart State campus, which is now called the Albany State West Campus, it has a covered hitting facility with locker rooms and showers, and it's very accessible to the players. So the overall facility and the benefit of having that locker room and the covered hitting facility was probably better suited for what we were trying to do than the East Campus was.
And that you play more of your games at the West Campus, correct?
We play all of our games at the West Campus.
And how is that going for you guys, considering, and I don't know, Coach, this, I'm not trying to take digs at Albany State, but I played collegiate baseball for 3 years at Edward Waters, and we played Albany State a few times, and this was in the 80s, and it had a regular infield, with the infield had its requirements, but the outfield was kind of like a little league park. I mean, a regular fly ball was a home run.
Hit or we have a fantastic facility over here, and the guys love it. I mean, we have laundry facility, we have, you know, nice locker rooms. It's a players, it's very enjoyable for the players. They can walk right out of the locker room, and there's a big covered hitting facility with three cages and indoor mounds and AstroTurf. So the players absolutely love it here.
Does that help in recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, when we bring kids to campus and they see, I mean, we have a great playing surface, a beautiful wall that just got rebuilt from where Hurricane Michael came through here in October and devastated our city. But the players, most of them live in apartments closer to the West Campus. It's very convenient. The West Campus is, you know, right here by the mall and the restaurants and things like that. The East Campus is beautiful. They got a lot of great things going on the East Campus as well. It's right there on the river. The whole campus looks like a major college university, as nice as the campus is on the East Campus. But the baseball field is over on the West Campus, and it's very convenient to the restaurants and that sort of stuff the guys like to do.
Well, tell me something about your scheduling. I'm a stats guy. I'm always checking stats on players, on teams. And the one thing I look for is the strength of schedule. And I noticed that you've really stepped it up for Albany State. And I think that's going to, it's helping you out at the national level, because a lot of people looked at that last year and going into the start of this season. Are teams reaching out to Albany State, reaching out to you to schedule games with you?
Well, you know, yes, they are. We're playing our first 7 or 8 weekends here at home. Everybody's coming to us, and it's a great benefit because we have such a nice facility. But I just firmly believe in the better team that you can play in February and March, it's going to expose your weaknesses. And last year we had a really good season. We had a 1 and a 2 that were very good. We had one of the best players in Division II baseball, Rolani Familia, with over, I think he had almost 70 RBIs and 13 homers, maybe 11 homers, I don't remember exactly. And so we had a great year, got off to a good start. But we have a lot of new players that are here from junior college programs, a couple high school players. And when you play that good schedule, it exposes your weaknesses early. And we played a great young Harris team, was very well coached early, and we got 2 out of 3 from them. But then the next couple weekends, man, we played Eckerd College, fantastic ball club. Emmanuel played a very strong NAI ball club, Point University, and they have polished pitchers. And what they did to some of our junior college transfers is they exposed their weaknesses. And so for the last 2 weeks, we've been trying to fix these weaknesses, because when Tampa comes in here, I mean, our conference, Clark Atlanta, has one of the best pitchers in the Southeast. They're right-hander, and then you got Spring Hill, who came into the league. Robert at Kentucky State is doing a phenomenal job. I mean, so there's, if you don't get those weaknesses fixed early, you're going to get exposed late when it really matters in the tournament. So our league is nothing just to Ty Roberts at Miles. I mean, he's got 2 or 3 really good frontline arms that will absolutely expose weaknesses. So if we don't fix them early, we're going to be in trouble late.
Well, the young kid you're talking about for Clark Atlanta is Anthony Nettles. And
that's it, Nettles. I lost his name. Yeah, I mean, he's probably mid to upper 80s, competitive, can spin it. I mean, and he comes right after you, and the team feeds off of him. And KC does an outstanding job. I mean, we played them early last year, and then Heck had to hit a big home run in the ninth to beat them last year in the tournament. I mean, just an outstanding ball club.
Well, with your schedule, what I find I kind of have an issue with a lot of HBCU teams is some of them don't try to beat those programs, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they try to use it as a springboard to win the conference, I think, and it showed last year, because you went out and you took 2 of 3 against the number one ranked team in the nation, Tampa, and in that series, you all also threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, a no-hitter, I think, threw 6. He might have given up in the 6th inning, if I'm not mistaken, because we had to bring in our closer at the time. But no, we're not here to play them. I mean, we're here to win. Like yesterday, we played AUM and they beat us 1-0. 2 weeks ago, we played Valdosta. We go out in those midweek games. It is definitely for to win. And then on the weekends, we match our 1-2-3 up with everybody else's 1-2-3. And trust me, we're not there just to be on a competitive stage. We're there to try to win. And we brought in our reliever, and if we had had the lead last night, I'd have brought in our weekend closer. So we're not here just to catapult into to fix it just for our conference. I want to try to really become relevant in the SIAC, but I want to be relevant in the regional. So when we do have a participant from our conference go to the regional, that it's a competitive participant who can compete with Tampa and Delta State and Florida Southern and Valdosta State. I mean, I think that's very important.
Now, how do you feel about the way the conference is set up? What I'm getting at here is only one team goes to the Division II regional. What if you had two power teams that made it into the SIAC conference championship? Let's just say Albany State and another school. Do you think that is there a possibility that the NCAA would consider both programs, or is it just because you're the conference champion?
Well, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of why that rule was made, but also really truly believe that if you look at the strength of our schedule, And let's say we beat Valdosta State twice, and we beat Columbus State twice, and we beat Tampa twice, and we beat Young Harrison Emanuel, and each weekend we were winning 2 out of 3 games, and then we went right through our conference, but then lost in the conference tournament. I would think that the NCAA would have to consider that body of work compared to everybody else's. So, I don't think it's ever been done where two teams are at the SIAC. But also don't think it's impossible to get an at-large bid if your body of work outside of the conference is very good. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree, and that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping that 1 year, or it's something that can turn into something consistent, that we see more HBCU programs make it just a not just a conference champion. Because baseball, HBCUs put good teams out there.
And we've won. I was part of a minor league championship team. I was part of a high school state championship, 3 of those. I've been a part of winning a junior college championship, and then we were fortunate enough last year to win an SIAC championship. And no matter what conference it is or level it is still extremely difficult to win a conference championship, and because the level of play is just raised up. And I referenced Clark Atlanta last year, and we beat them at their place 3 games. And then they had a center fielder last year. His last name was Andrades, I think. He was the best player we might have seen all year on that particular day. He hit 2 big homers against us, dive and catch, 2 doubles off the wall. And so it doesn't matter what conference you're in, that championship's hard. But I do think that you could possibly get an at-large bid if we do a better job of winning outside of conference throughout the year. I think that's very important.
Well, yeah, because that conference championship is what I'm hoping is we can get you guys something to play for, not just a conference championship. We're working on an HBCU national title, and we're hoping it can be fruitful. It's taking time. The NCAA and the NAIA have been very helpful, but it's we need something else just to play for, not just a conference championship, because for a lot of teams, that is it.
Yeah, and I'm not as familiar with that probably as you are, of what conferences are able to go on to the regional and who's not, and so forth. But yeah, that sounds like a good idea, that's for sure.
Well, how is it going with scouting at Albany State? Because you came from the junior college ranks, and a lot of your players either were looked at or were drafted. And how is it, how are you taking that course into Albany State and bringing the scouts about? Because a lot of scouts go to HBCUs, they look at the players, and then a lot of those guys are scout worthy, draft worthy, I should say.
Yeah, one of the things that we try to do, number one, is we have a scout day every fall. And we started that in junior college, and then I brought it on to Albany State, and we opened it up for professional scouts to come in one day to just like all the other universities and colleges do. And I think that's very important. But one of the things I think is if you use the term scout worthy, is one of the main things that I try to tell our guys is, do you have one tool that stands out above everybody else? And that's one of the things that we try to recruit to is like, for example, our center fielder. He has one, I mean, he's a good player, but he has one outlier tool, which he runs a 6.360.
Wow.
That's a fast 60 time.
Yes.
Okay. He doesn't throw great. He doesn't hit great. He's a very good all-around baseball player. But on scout day, he runs a 6. I think he might have ran a 6.4 that day. But that's an outlier tool. We have a third baseman that has unbelievable power. He struggled in junior college a little bit, but he has to refine some stuff. But he has an outlier tool in that he can hit the ball over the fence. So when he takes BP on scout day, it's like, whoa. Then we go, you know, we have an arm, one of our arms. He's a big velocity arm. He had to develop a changeup and a breaking ball when he got here. But I think that's important. So when you're out recruiting, there are a lot of good players. I see them in our league. I'm like, wow, that guy's a great player. But what tool separates that player from every other person, not just in the country now, but in the world for Major League Baseball? And so I think that's one of the things that we talk about when we go out on the recruiting is we do want good baseball players, but also want some of those players with those tools that just stand out above everybody else. And it might only be one, but on that one day, and he gets seen by the right person, then we got a chance.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, because in 5 years at Dalton, you won 212 games, and that is unheard of in the collegiate ranks unless you are a Division I program.
Well, you know, and we've won four straight regular season titles here, two at Albany State, two at Dalton. We've played in the conference championship game 5 out of the last 6 years, and we've been to a national regional 4 out of the last 5 years. And we took that same model of recruiting and have tried to bring it here, and it's getting better each and every year. But on that 2016 team, we've got one of the top pitching prospects in the Angels organization still pitching, and another one in the Nationals organization, and then we still have a couple guys playing Division I baseball who were redshirted last year due to injury. So we're trying to take that same model here and do what we did at Darden as far as finding those players that have a couple tools that might not be developed, and then kind of be balanced is the word we always try to use. We don't want just all raw players, but we just want all solid players. We want to be balanced in all aspects, and it's getting better. We have a great support staff here. Our athletic director is committed to winning. She is helps us and really is an easy person to work for. And then we just hired a new president, Marion Federick, who has just been outstanding with saying, she asked me the other day, what can I do to make your job better? Now, I mean, how awesome is that?
You don't hear that a lot at HBCUs, Coach, to be honest.
Well, she did. And when she said that, I was like, you know what? I'm just honored that you even asked me that. And so that was awesome. Our boss is always asking, hey, what can we do to get more depth on the mound, Coach? What can we do to improve our facility? So the vision is here, and I think as time goes forward, you're going to continue to see all of our programs get better and better, because you know as well as I do, if your administration is committed to winning, then you got a good shot at winning. There's no doubt about that. And our administration is definitely committed to winning.
Well, that's because it sounds to me like they understand the importance of the student-athlete. It's the student-athlete that builds a program. It's the student-athlete that wins the program. And it's also the student-athlete that makes sure that the school gets revenue.
Yeah, and then it's our student-athletes that are out doing volunteer work. And I mean, we've done – our baseball program alone has already done 340 hours of volunteer hours this year.
Wow.
In this community.
Wow.
340. And then we have Little League Days coming up. We have a Military Appreciation Night. We do something here, Michael, that is awesome. We do a Campus Community Appreciation Night, and this year we're teaming up with a Military Appreciation Night. But we do about a 9-minute fireworks show after the game.
Wow, that's
and we invite the entire community, alumni, little leaguers, civic groups, church groups. And it packs the house out here, and we're doing it on April 19th, and this will be the first year that we actually partner with the military. And after the game, we let the kids run on the field, then we shut the lights off and start firing off some fireworks, and it is an awesome night for this community. So our players out in the community, our president understands that. That's what brings people to support, brings kids to camp. It eventually will equal students enrolled at Albany State. So we got a lot of good things going on around here, that's for sure.
That is awesome, Coach. You don't hear you hear programs that do things, the kids are involved in off-campus activities, but nothing like what you just said. That shows what their coach is about. It's more than just playing on the field, and my understanding is your kids are high academic students as well.
We do. We have a philosophy here, and I used to have an old boss, and he would ask this question in every interview. He'd say, "What is the definition of winning?" And I would always tell him, "The definition of winning is when your program can run itself, no matter who's in charge that day." So, winning to us is a byproduct of everything else that we're doing. Getting them out in the community, making them go to class, making them show respect to authority. But whether it's the custodian up here cleaning up after a game, or it's the president of the college treating everybody with respect, getting out and engaging in the community. And once you create that whole person, then winning is just a byproduct of that recipe. And if you take one ingredient out, that could be the magic ingredient that is the byproduct of winning. So it's just like when you're cooking, if you take out one ingredient, it doesn't taste as good. And so we don't tolerate not going to class or not having good grades or not behaving in the community or, you know, not behaving on the field, because we have kids at the games and we want to do that. So we really, really want this person to leave out of here and be a better player, a better person, and definitely a better student once they finish our program. And that's just not me spilling a podcast. That's something that we talk about and we put it in writing, and the guys understand what the expectations are here.
Well, I see the awards that each HBCU baseball program gives the kids. I see the academic awards. I'm constantly seeing high grade point averages, which includes Albany State. But to start winding this down, Coach, the 2019 season, coming in, you came in as the defending HBCU baseball national champion, also as well as a conference national, as your SIAC conference champions. What's different for 2019?
2019 has a completely new team, and we've started off at 4-10. Realistically, we could probably be 7-7. We blew a couple games late. But we have a whole new team. I mean, I think I was just counting up before we got on here. I think we have either 10 or 12 new junior college and high school players. We have a new pitching staff. We return Michael Reddick and Roman Olu, but everybody else is new. We're starting 4 or 5 new players every game, and so it's taken us a little bit of while to learn our system and get going. But last night we played really well against a very good AUM team, and so I think over these next couple weeks we've got to get it going, because we got St. Anselm flying in from, I think, New Hampshire, and then Tampa coming in next weekend, and then we start off with Lane, who's got a new coach I'm sure they're going to be very well coached. But we're just kind of hitting our stride a little bit and finding our way. Our arms, I think, are a little bit better than they were last year, but we haven't specifically replaced Familia, which is going to be really tough to do, or our first baseman, Tyler Morse. So we're still trying to fix put all the pieces of the puzzle together, but I think our best baseball is still yet to come.
And that includes the SIAC conference as well, and taking the division you're in.
I hope so, but I mean, it's not going to be easy. I mean, we go on the road for a couple really tough games at Benedict, and they play really well at their place, along with we got to go to Morehouse, and then to Spring Hill, which is a very, very good program.
Well, Coach, I have to ask you this question. You got drafted by some very good teams in Major League Baseball, the Yankees, the New York Yankees, and then the Padres. That's impressive.
Well, when the Yankees, 61st round out of high school, 18th round by the Padres, made it all the way to Triple-A, and I got hurt and went back to a short spring training stint with the Tigers. And then as soon as I got out of baseball, I've been coaching. This is my 17th year, and I love the game. And the best thing I love is the journey. You start off on January or whatever, February 1st, and then what are you going to be on May 1st? And that's the fun part. Yeah, we're struggling right now a little bit, wins and losses, but I tell them all the time, that's part of the journey. That's part of what we're doing. So I love it. I was honored to play the game, and I'm honored to coach it, and hope that my kids feel the same way about me, that, hey, this guy gives his best effort every day out, and so he really practices what he preaches.
I told them when you first came in, I said, this is the right hire, and watch what happens, and here we are. Coach, it is always...
I want to say something real quick. I really appreciate all your commitment. Your newsletter, your rankings, and your what you try to do for the game and the HBCUs. I just think that all the listeners need to really give you a big thanks for all that you do to promote this sport and these kids. And I really do appreciate it.
Well, there's a method to my madness. Being a former HBCU baseball player, there was no coverage, and I've had many opportunities because I started off with a defunct website that covered collegiate baseball, and they went under. And then I went to Black College Baseball, and they went under. And now I'm with Black College Nines. I just love the sport. As a player, as a former player, I grew up playing the sport. But I say this to every baseball coach, and it isn't me, Coach Hemmings. It is not me at all. It's you. It's all of you baseball coaches. You put the product on the field, and you're giving me something to report.
Well, I sure do appreciate it, and thank you for your time today, and look forward to listening to this either tomorrow or next week, whenever you post it.
Well, I have scheduled myself to come to Albany State and towards the end of April. Not the end of April, I'm sorry, the end of March to see one of your games. So we will be in contact, and it's always a pleasure. Like I tell people, you put the product on the field, Black College Nines will continue to report it.
Well, I sure do appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you a couple weeks out here at the field.
God bless you, and God keep you, Coach.